are in front of you.
Hooked up here. Well, turn with me to John chapter 8. Thank you so much, Brother Gary, and thank you for the invitation to the Bentley camp. John chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me. If you're here today and you're a believer, I want you to love the Lord Jesus Christ more today. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I just want you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then for us who are believers, I'd like you to think about this as we look at this message in John chapter 8. The marks of a Pharisee. And I want you to think, because I think when God saves us from our sins, sometimes a little bit of the Pharisee begins to come and take residence in us, and sometimes we can look upon sinners with contempt. And I can remember that's not what attracted me to Christ, is being looked upon with contempt by another saint of God. What attracted me to Christ was the message of love that came from a servant of Christ to me, as I was a horrible sinner. And so, beloved of God, think about that as we look at this in John chapter 8, this woman taken in adultery, and how she was treated by religious people, a sinner, and how she was brought before the man, the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, but in the manner in which she was brought. And then I'm going to show you that I don't think it was as bad for her as it looks to us. And sometimes don't think that things that turn out so bad, God's not going to take them and turn them out for good. And we'll see that in this woman. But let's read it there. John chapter 8 and verse 1. This was after the feast, the big feast in John chapter 7. Jesus went and retired to the Mount of Olives. It says he went up into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You can hear the accusatory tone in their voices as they dragged her into the temple, right down the aisle here where he was sitting and teaching. You got to remember who's here. The congregation's there. His apostles are there. He's sitting there. And here come the Sanhedrin, the scribes and Pharisees, and throw her right in the middle, interrupted his teaching, and dropped her right in the middle of this whole scene. And there she is. And they throw her there. Now, what do you think she thought about religious people at this point? Is this what I want to be? Are these the people that are going to show me love? I mean, you look at this, and I want you to be introspective here. Because if there's one thing I don't want to be, it's a Pharisee. I don't want to make sinners measure up to my standards. I want to show sinners the love of Christ. Because that's what's going to attract them to our Savior, beloved of God. Not us snubbing our nose at them or condescending them. So there she is. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. By the way, that's why they brought her there. They didn't really give a rip about that woman. They didn't care about her. They hated Christ. And they were trying to divide him from the law of Moses. They were trying to put a wedge between him and the law. Now, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I mean, you got to picture this scene when you read the scripture. You got to picture it. He was sitting in a chair and he just went.
He's writing on the ground with his finger.
Or what was he writing? I don't know. But he was writing on the ground with his finger. And it says, so they continued asking him. And he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote upon the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Father, please help us. Help me, O God. I pray that the message of Christ would first of all be magnifying to your great name, and that the Son of God would be exalted this morning, and that we would love him more, and that we would see the most perfect man that ever walked the face of the earth. And Father, how he behaved in these situations. And Father, I pray that if there be a sinner in here today, Father, those that have not been reconciled to the Son of God, I pray that they would see in us, Father. I pray that they would not see stones in our hands, but I pray that they would see love in our eyes, in our actions, in our words toward them, desiring that they would be saved from their sins. Father, help us, Father, to truly represent true religion to the lost and dying world, that we may represent what it truly is to be a lover of Christ. And we'll give you the glory and the honor, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous chapter, they were at the feast, and they had planned on killing Christ. The Pharisees said, go get him. They sent officers and said, go get him. We're gonna kill him. And if you look there, it says in verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's the character of those that believe in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ today, then what's going to come out of your life towards sinners is rivers of living water. You're going to be able to feed sinners from your life and by your words, that if any man thirst, then he'll come to listen. Not that you'll come with a stone. And I wonder sometimes, what do sinners see in us? Do they see us with stones in our hands? In other words, do they look at us and do they feel like they're filthier than they really? Yes, they're filthy. Yes, they're sinners. But how are we going to attract them to Christ holding stones in our hands? Or snubbing our nose with them? Or holding them at arm's length and saying, we're holier than thou? Beloved of God, such were some of you. That's what I was. I needed somebody to love me. I needed somebody to look into my eyes and tell me the truth about Christ with love. I didn't need somebody to tell me that I'm worthless and horrible and get away from me. I don't want to come near you. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And by the way, Jesus sat and ate with publicans and sinners. He was a friend of sinners. And so there he is in the temple teaching. But you know, let me not miss this, because I love this. The chief priest and the officers and the Pharisees sent the officers to go get him, and they didn't bring him back. And they said, where is he at? And they said, never a man spake like this man. We've never heard a man like that. They were stopped by the truth and the love that came from him. They were just stopped in their tracks. They couldn't do anything. And they came back, so the Pharisees were befuddled. So the Lord retires to the Mount of Olives. And I don't want to miss this, because he goes and he retires there to commune with his Heavenly Father. What a perfect example the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. And he went to his favorite place, and he went up and he slipped out and he spent time in prayer seeking his Father's face. It's such a valuable lesson for us.
is that that's how our day should be, beloved of God. We should seek the face of our Father. We should seek Him for grace and for help and preparation for the day. And that's what He did. He went up into the Mount of Olives and He asked His Father to give Him wisdom and grace and direction for the day. He communed with Him. This is what it means. And then all throughout the day, He would seek His Father's will. And that's what it means to pray without ceasing, beloved. But in the temple scene, as you see there, and we come to John chapter 8, we see what's happening. This woman was dragged right in the middle. And let me tell you this. You look at this and you say, that's horrible. I mean, it's just a horrible thing that happened. I mean, there she is, and she's so embarrassed. I mean, it's terrible. Beloved, there's not a better place. There wasn't a better time. And there wasn't a better man that she could have been dragged before at that very time. She was dragged right in the middle of the right man. And there she sat in the middle of this congregation. I mean, you picture that scene. But the first thing that we need to understand from this account in the book of John is that they did not come to Him genuinely. And I think you know that. They didn't come to Christ with this sinner because they hated her sin. They came because they hated Him. And they were trying to divide Him from the law of Moses. They were not concerned for her soul. And that's what I want to get to in our lives, beloved of God. Do sinners understand that we care for their souls? It was obvious in this situation. They were not grieved because of her sin. Do we grieve for sinners? Or are we just worried about catching sinners in their sins? Do we play the role of Christian who loves a sinner, or do we play the role of accuser? You think about it in your life. What are you to the sinners in your little world? What am I to the sinners in Springfield, Louisiana? Do they think I'm an accusatory preacher? If they come to Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, do they think they're going to be treated with the love of Christ? Or do they think that I'm going to snub my nose at them and not talk to them and they're filthy and they need to stay away from me? And so how do sinners view you, beloved of God? How do we catch sinners? And how do they find themselves when they're at the other end of our stair? And there's another problem here. If you go to Leviticus 20:10, and I know you've thought about this. They brought the woman who was accused of adultery. But pray tell, where was the man? Where was he at? Leviticus 20 and verse 10 says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Both of them, if they were so concerned about following Moses' law, Deuteronomy 22:22. Of course, we know they were not concerned with that. Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. So back to John 8. Let's learn what is taking place here. Beloved, if sinners are going to come to Christ at the other end of our witness, then they need to see mercy from us. They need to see compassion. I have to imagine as our Lord was sitting in the synagogue teaching, He was teaching judgment and truth and mercy and forgiveness. And then they cast this woman, this sinner, this horrible sinner, they cast her down in the midst of them. So first I want you to see her accusers showed her no mercy. They showed her no compassion. But they ran right into the middle and pointed her out as a terrible sinner. It was judgment without mercy. It was rash judgment without mercy. And so what do they see in us, beloved of God? Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I came not to condemn, but to save the world. These religious leaders showed cruel judgment. And when we represent ourselves, like they did to sinners, beloved, we do not properly represent the Spirit of God in our lives. Turn to Ezekiel 18:31. Remember, what people see in you upon your profession of faith in Christ and as a believer in God, they think you are representing the mind of God to our society. And we have to understand that what they see in us is what they're going to think of God. And so what do they see in us? What did she see in them? What did she see in her accusers? She was seeing some different things. She was seeing the Lord stooping down, writing on the ground. The congregation was sitting there watching. And she was looking at religious people with stones in their hands. Such should be stoned. And how do we make sinners feel? Beloved, we're to preach the Word of God and let the Spirit of God convict them of their sins. We're to let God do the work of showing them that they're sinners. Let the Spirit of God use the instrument of the Word of God to convict them. We are not to be the ones to make them feel worse than they already feel. Ezekiel 18:31 says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And then the Lord says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live." You see that? "I have no pleasure," he says, "in the death of him that dieth," i.e. in their sins. I have no pleasure in the wicked die in their sins. Look over in 33:11. Ezekiel goes further in 33:11 of the same book. He says, "Say unto them," that is to the prophet to preach to Israel, "and I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." So how should that make us behave toward the wicked? If we're going to throw stones at them and our wish is that they would die in their sins, we're certainly not representing the mind of God to sinners. And he says there, "I have no pleasure in that, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And beloved, what am I? I want to be acutely aware of, and I'm not saying that I do this well all the time. I want to be very, very aware of how I represent Jesus Christ to the sinners that I know. Am I representing Jesus Christ as a man with stones in his hand? I mean, you think about this. And let me tell you who the hardest ones it is to do this with is your own lost children. I have lost children. And they're with me all the time. They know their daddy. And you know what? Daddy's the one that's been the one saying, no, don't do this. And when they've done certain things, I never want them. And this is a hard thing, beloved, because you have your children, they'll grow up and maybe they're growing out and they're in their sin. And beloved, you don't want to push them off and represent to them that you don't love them. They know what you believe. They know that you want them to turn from their sins. And I think sometimes we think if we love them anyway, they'll think we approve of their sins. No, they don't. We need to love them. And when the Lord gives us those times and seasons to speak to them and love them and weep and tell them you pray for them. I got a son out in California. I send him texts all the time. Talk to him. I love you, son. Is he in the lifestyle that I like him to be in? No. But what good is it going to do for me to always be condemning towards him and accusatory towards him? He needs to hear that Christ Jesus loved sinners. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me when I was ungodly. He loved me when I was his enemy. So what am I going to represent to my own blood sinners? Beloved, love your children. I don't care if you're the preacher's kids, love them. Show them Christ, don't show them a stone. Love them with all your heart, because that's what's going to attract them to the Savior. And that's how you will fairly represent the love of God to them. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Luke 6:31. And let me tell you, your love is not a natural love. The love of Christ that comes out of a Christian's life is a radical, different love. It is a disinterested love. It does not love for what it gets back. It loves because of the love of Christ shed abroad in your hearts. And you cannot but do anything else but love. It's an unnatural love that comes from us, from sinners, beloved of God. And that's what they need to see in us. That's how we can love the adulterers and the fornicators of this world. Because Christ loved me when that's what I was. And I realize a fine line, and you know, 2 Corinthians, don't be yoked up with them. I'm not talking about yoking up with them. I'm talking about loving them. I'm talking about talking to them, sitting down and eating a sandwich with them, befriending those in your community. Brethren, the Church of Jesus Christ is for the saints. We're to bring Christ out to our little world that we live in. And we're to love sinners, our neighbors, beloved. Look what he says in 31 of, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Well, man, I was so thankful that somebody did right by me in Christ preaching the gospel to me. And so I need to do that. I need to reciprocate. I need to fairly represent the Lord. He says, for if you love them which love you, there's nothing special about that. It's good, but there ain't nothing special about loving somebody that loves you back. You can read 1 Corinthians 13, but it says, sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. How are you going to do that unless you befriend them? You got to love the enemies of God. He says, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. And I love this, kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Our Heavenly Father, if you want to see how you should treat sinners, you watch the beautiful cool breeze today, and God sent it to the wicked man's house as well as to yours. Amen. And he sends rain to the just man's crops as well as to the unjust man's crops. He shows kindness. And brethren, that's what we need to represent. That's what makes the religion of Christ different. Different and radical. You are going to return love to people who hate you. And it may be of your own blood. But the love of Christ coming out of your life cannot do anything else but do that. We don't behave and react the way the world does, beloved of God. If we make sinners feel better than, if we make them feel like we're better than they are, listen, you could have all the truth. Your orthodoxy could be perfect and sound. But if your life stinks, they will not listen to a word you got to say. You could have all the truth. But if you don't love them, why would they want to believe your words? Why would they want to believe what you call truth? But another thing here is you could see the vilest of sinners in religion are often the worst accusers of other sinners. It's horrible, and I think that's what grieved the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, it should grieve us when we see sinners accusing sinners. Or when we see saints looking at sinners and talking about them and saying, you see that? Look at that. Look at that. I mean, that, brethren, that is not Christ. Listen, 1 Corinthians 6:11, don't turn there, but he says, such were some of you. We need to remember what God saved us from and be so thankful that he saved us from our sins. And we ought to have an inherent desire now that other men would be saved from the same things that we were saved from. Ephesians 2, look there. Brother Barney read it yesterday. You know, where somebody's talked about the potter and taking sinners from the same lump of clay. He says there in Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and you were by nature a child of wrath, even as others. But God. And that message came from the lips of somebody else that was a sinner.
Yeah.
And it came to you in love. For His great love, not just love, great love, wherewith He had loved us. Even when we were dead, enemies, wicked, vile sinners, hath quickened us together with Christ. Brethren, it's an amazing thing. But back to John 8, and we'll finish up. His statement to them quickened and awakened their consciences. What statement? Well, He looked out at them. And I want to remember this as long as I live, brethren. And I won't say that I'll always do this well. I want to do this. I want to represent Christ properly. But I want to always remember, when I look at another sinner, these words. He that is without sin, go ahead and throw the stone. Now Christ should have, He could have threw the stone. Because He was without sin. But He looked and He said, whoever among you is entirely without sin, have at it. And He knelt down and started writing on the ground again. And we know that knowing their own hearts and lives, they went out one by one. Some of them were probably guilty of what they accused her of. Because it wasn't about her. It was about Him. Never a man spake like this man. They were just puppets. That's all they were. And here was the Master, the Messiah, sitting before them and they could not see it. They hated Christ. And their indignation was against the Son of God. The accusers condemned and now gone. Verses 10 and 11, it says, when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman. Well, before that, it says that they went out one by one. In verse 9, it says, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. If you're lost today, that's where you need to find yourself, alone with Christ. That's where you need to find yourself, standing before Him, a wicked, vile sinner, having your sins brought into the light. That's what you need. The worst thing for this woman, I want you to know, was that nobody would have caught her and brought her before the Son of God. Secret sins are the worst kind. The best way is to be discovered and to be discovered by Christ and to see the love of Christ. What do you think she expected from Christ? I mean, you ever thought about that? What do you think she expected? I think she expected to be stoned. I mean, what she saw in the Pharisees was what she knew of religion. And so that's what she expected. And she got something totally different. And there He was standing there. It had to perplex her. It had to perplex His apostles and the people standing around. And of course, she was left alone. And in silence now, the woman stands expecting her sentence from the Lord, expecting to be condemned, expecting to be reproved, belittled, shame on you. Well, He stood up and He said, where are your accusers, woman? In John 3:17, look at it. John 3:17, and Jesus said in another place, He said, I didn't come to be a judge. Came to be a Savior. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. She was already condemned. She needed a Savior. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, there were some lights that came on there, and the light came on for the ones that were holding the stones, and the light came on for this woman. And so he said, I don't condemn thee. And his charge to her was, go and sin no more. Because she says, he says, where's your accusers? She says, are there anybody here condemned? She says, no man, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. Turn from your present course of life. Repent. And don't sin anymore. Repent. Believe in me. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize there's some things here that aren't said. In John 5:14, the man at the pool, when he found the Lord, he said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. And so there she goes. Turn from your present course of life. Repent and believe in me. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. And sometimes religionists do that. I don't want to destroy anybody's life. I don't want to do something to a sinner, in the presence of a sinner, that would permanently bar them from ever listening to the true message of Jesus Christ. And so I become one that holds them out of the kingdom of God rather than one that invites them to it. These men came to destroy her life. Jesus came to save her life. If you're a sinner in here today, Christ did not come to destroy your life. He did not come to condemn sinners. He came to save sinners. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that heareth the Son of God and believeth on me, I shall raise him up at the last day. So Luke 9:56, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. How do sinners view you, beloved of God? How do you treat them? What do they know of you? Do they know that they could come to you just as they are, and that you're not going to make them feel they are, but that you're going to show them the love of Christ? The Bible says, if you're a Christian, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. And if that's the case, if the love of God is in your heart, it can't do anything else but come out of your heart and your lips. And so, brethren, see the Lord Jesus Christ. Represent him in your life the way he represented himself. These things are written for our example. Amen. Brother.